thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here, my boy Ray Jeezy. We'll tease out. What's going on, Ray?
Everything. I'm still on my phone. It's been a wet ride coming to the studio today, but it's always great to hit Urban Sports Scene on the air.
You know it, and it's a big show. We have scheduled a WBC featherweight champion, Gary Russell Jr. He should be on here in about a minute. The champ, if you don't know, the champ is fighting May 19th at the MGM National Harbor. He's fighting against JoJo Diaz. Matter of fact, Ray, you said you're gonna be in the building
tomorrow. 1 o'clock MGM press conference. The Urban Sports Scene will be there. If you're able to make it up, come holler at us. You know, it's gonna be just the beginning of just more build up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can say the beginning of more, but the beginning of the build up for the fight. The fighters will get a little bit more time to talk. I'm expecting more trash talk. Gary Russell already called this potential fight a massacre. and then on Friday is the weigh-in. Weigh-ins are, as Wally was saying, just kind of posing.
Just posing, man.
Mr. Universe looking type stuff. You know, these guys are like 5'4", featherweight, but two tough fighters, obviously. The whole area is excited. I'm listening to the radio coming in.
Yeah, I agree.
Tickets being given away. I think the buzz is set in now.
I think so, too. I mean, this is he hasn't fought in a while. This is definitely a fight that could propel him to bigger fights. You know, JoJo Diaz was the mandatory, number one boxer that he had to fight. So if he beats JoJo Diaz, he has an opportunity to, you know, fulfill his dream, maybe fighting a bigger, badder opponent.
Obviously, he plans on moving up in weight. If you've been following us, you know, check out our YouTube channel. Check out Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, Twitter. We have several interviews. Again, we've been following this fight for at least a month now.
Yeah, it has been.
Gary Russell's already been on the show. One interview, which was unfortunately deleted. Technical difficulties. But I think that, again, this is going to be something that is going to propel him to bigger things. He wants to unify the belt at featherweight, but he doubts that, you know, he's going to get someone to step up to fight him. So
yeah.
My guess is he's going to move up and wait all the way up until he gets Lomachenko. This is one of his final six fights, according to Gary, and I think he wants to make
who's
sure.
Who's won? You're talking about Lomachenko?
Lomachenko's going to be the last fight.
Okay, got you.
Currently, Lomachenko was fighting around 135, 136, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So
who just won? Gary Russell
was fighting at 125. Mm-hmm. So Gary Russell wants to end his career with Lomachenko. That's supposed to be his last fight. As you all know, that's his only loss. And I'm thinking that he's going to continue to move up in weight, continue to challenge some of the best fighters out there until he gets Lomachenko.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fight I want to see. I think he deserves to get a rematch. I think one loss shouldn't dictate your whole career. Like, one loss shouldn't say, okay, he's not ready to fight on Lomachenko. That was one fight. Lomachenko at the time was still the unknown as a professional fighter in terms of the amateur ranks. Lomachenko is probably one of the best pound for pound amateur fighters you've probably seen in all time. But I would like to see Gary Russell Jr. get a rematch just to see, okay, an opportunity to get this guy. You know what he is, what he's about in the ring. Get that opportunity to fight him and see what's up.
Shout out to Showtime, by the way. They're going to treat us good tomorrow. We're eating lunch prior to Gary Russell even arriving. Now, you know my challenges as a vegan. Last time I went to a fight luncheon at the MGM, it was sliders, mac and cheese. I may have to cheat just so I can, you know, have a plate.
They have a mac.
I mean,
how was the last? You went to the lunch, the other luncheon.
The first media lunch, right? That's what I'm saying.
And just sliders, mac and cheese.
Sliders, mac and cheese. There was.
They should have more though.
There
this
was
time,
a
right?
salad there. No, there was some good food. I can't remember everything. There was fried chicken. A lot of stuff that boxers don't eat. JoJo didn't eat anything. Gary ate two sliders. His brothers, I think Antoine did eat a little bit as well. So did Antonio, who they're fighting on the undercard. Mm-hmm. But. Now, it was still first class, and I expect tomorrow to be the same. So, you know, we'll get the salad with the creamy surprise, and it's going to be interesting.
Wait, salad with the creamy surprise?
Yeah, because you know that creamy dressing that comes when you go to, like, work luncheons, and you know what I'm talking about? It's like a Caesar looking dressing or something.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Like a fake house salad with a Caesar little thing on the side.
But it's interesting to watch.
It's kind of funny, though.
The media guys stuff their faces while these fighters who are, you know, just in incredible shape prepare for a fight.
That's a good question. That's a question I have for you. Are most of the media folks that attend, are they like out of shape and sloppy?
Not, you know what? For boxing, I want to say it's about half and half.
Okay.
Because a lot of the guys who cover boxing used to be boxers.
Okay.
Based on what I've seen, based mm-hmm. on conversations I've had. But yeah, you've seen what Dan Raphael looked like. He just received a couple of awards.
Congratulations.
Journalism
Congratulations.
Awards. Good dude, though. He was a nice guy and everything. But I'm just saying, you know, that's about average. Now, you've been in the Redskins games, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You covered the Redskins. The Wizards. We've covered all these teams. And yeah, media guys are, they're what they are.
It's my pops would say that's
Brian Windhorst and all these type of guys. That's what they look like.
My dad would say evidence of good living.
There you go. Dormant muscle, baby. That's what they call it. So you had your way in. You want to speak to that to our listeners yesterday?
Oh, my way in? That's a question.
We going to the Gary Russell way in on Friday.
So hold on.
MGM. It's going to be raining.
No, you're right. So I had a doctor's appointment and my doc told me when I weighed myself, I was 240. Like, I can't believe that. I'm not a 240 individual. Like, I've never been a 240. I mean, I have. But I thought I was past those days of being 240 and plus. She said, I had my shoes on. She told me that, okay, because of your shoes, we're going to subtract 3 pounds. So it's like I was at 237, which, again, my weigh in, 237. I'm about 6'2". I still feel like that's a little bit big for me. I feel like, you know, some people have stated that it may be muscle, which I don't believe either. I'm not a big believer in that. Like, muscle weighs that much more than fat. No, I think I'm a little bit hefty right now. I need to lose some weight.
Well, when it comes to boxers, the weight is huge. It's financial implications if you come in even a pound overweight, right?
Exactly.
But nonetheless, big fight. We're still waiting on Gary Russell, who we plan to have on the show tonight. Uh-huh. I mentioned, I think last time I told you personally that when we talked to him last week at his gym, mm-hmm. he just seemed really laid back. The most laid back I've seen him. You know, usually he's feisty. He's hype. But he was very calm, and he talked a lot about, you know, his upbringing here in the D.C. area, how they moved around a lot, his family. He even played football. He's a linebacker, as small as he is.
I know you said that. I couldn't.
Which is hilarious. Everybody got kind of a chuckle out of that when he mentioned it.
What's the JV
but the reason why he was –
We're in high school?
No. I'm just going to say, for lack of better terms, Pop Warner.
Okay.
It wasn't Boys and Girls Club, though. I know that much.
Okay.
But the reason why he was a linebacker is because he was the toughest one on the field, according to the coach.
Okay.
And it makes sense as to who he became.
Yeah.
Always been a boxer. He also talked about his anti-bullying campaign, which maybe we can ask him about that. Mm-hmm. God willing, we have him on the show. He's working hard right now.
Yeah.
He's working out at least twice a day. He's training twice a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Last time, we caught him in between, but again, we haven't booked, so hopefully we'll have him on after a break, right?
Yeah, we'll maybe probably go to break. All right, when we get back from break, hopefully we'll have the champ on. You're listening to Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces.
If you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss, you a worker, bitch, I make bloody move. Now she say, she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at, you know where I be. You in the club, just to party, I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them bands so much, I know they tired of me. Honestly, don't give a f*** about who in front of me. Drop 2 mixtapes in 6 months, we're breaking as hard as me. I don't bother with these, don't let these bother me. They see pictures, they say goals, bitch, I'm who they tryna be. Look, I might just chill in some babe, I might just chill with your boo, I might just spill on your babe. My f*** feel like a lake, he wanna swim with his face. I'm like, okay, I let him get what he want. He buy me East and LeBron, and the new wave. When I go fast as a horse, got the trunk in the front. I'm the hottest in the street. No, you probably heard of me. Got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope you know it ain't cheap. And I pay my mama bills. I ain't got no time to chill. Think these things be mad at me. They baby father run a bill.
Say, low, you can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms. These is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both. I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, see, that means I don't f*** with you. I'm a boss to a worker, bitch, I make bloody move. If you a goofy, you get popped. You a goofy, you a op. Don't you come around my way, you can't hang around my block. And I just check my account, turns out I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. I put my hand above my hip, I bet you dip, she dip, she dip. I get the money and go. This is high like a stove. My glitter is gold. Tell that little bitch to her roll. I just a rover, no rolls. I just came up in a rave. I need to fill up the tank. No, I need to fill up the safe. I need to let all these know they none of them none of the safe. I go to dinner and steaks. Only the real can relate. I used to live in the peace. Now it's a crib with a gate. Rolly got charms. The life was a flex. Hard to let these know. Just in case these forgot. I just wanna check the mail. Another check on my. For me, if you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody.
You listen to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wilder here, my boy Ray. Will T is out with Turf Toe. It's not Turf Toe. Will T just out. I keep thinking, you know,
Turf Toe is healed now.
It's fully healed now.
I believe so. He was
our text chain was hilarious, dude. When you started this morning,
oh,
hilarious, man.
Yeah, I know. I wish we could have a follow up discussion about, you know, LeBron dropping fadeaways. I told you, and he was going to do his thing, but he wasn't going to be able to do that against.
Man, 40. He was still making some freaking shots in that game though. And in the first half, in the first quarter,
bricks too.
In the first one, three, oh, he did. He
one
did.
Three, he shot it, hit like all backboard.
That was because the shot clock was going down though. That wasn't even a.
Jordan didn't do stuff like
that. She did. Everybody does that. Why do people do that? Jordan never did stuff like that. I'm sure he has. I'm sure Jordan has traveled and no one's called it. Jordan pushed off and no one's called it. So, I mean.
What's that to do with shooting a brick?
I'm just saying. He has shot.
I
could be wrong. I'm not saying that right or wrong. Like I'm just telling you, Jordan has done it.
He looked like he was having fun.
I'm just saying Jordan could do that. But anyway, like we didn't get to do it. I want to say, let's get into our tradition of pregame. Can I do that part?
You never said that?
No, I never did. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. We still plan on having WBC featherweight champ Gary Russell Jr. to talk about his upcoming fight against JoJo Diaz. I guess next we'll talk about the career of Redskins DB D'Angelo Hall. D'Angelo Hall has, I want to say, semi-retired. Adam Schefter reported that D Hall retired. D Hall refuted that and stated that he hasn't made his mind, but he does feel like
he's done.
He's done. Which yeah, I didn't get that either. After that, I want to say roughly at the 7:30 mark, we'll have WNST's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the show to talk about the Caps Eastern Conference Championship Series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Caps lost last night and are still up 2-1. The Caps lost 4-2 last night. At 7:40, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs. We're basically talking about that a little bit now. And finally, at the 7:50 mark, we'll dive back into boxing and talk about Vasily Lomachenko's victory over Jorge Linares. You saw the fight on ESPN? Did you see the fight at all?
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
It was Mother's Day weekend. I had a busy weekend. Overall, cookouts.
You had a cookout?
Movies, Avengers.
Potato salad
from the Amish market. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, actually, the Amish market potato salad is pretty good.
Amish market, everything is good. All Amish.
Everything.
Anyway, you wild, man. So while we either wait for Gary or move on.
Yeah, let's move on for right now. If he calls in.
D Hall calling it a career.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan. Yeah. Obviously, the Atlanta Falcons are the team that drafted him out of Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, so athletic, very fast coming out of college. And many thought that he was going to be one of those pieces alongside fellow Hokie and Michael Vick to put the Falcons over the top and go to a Super Bowl as a lockdown corner.
Yeah.
To me, he never became that lockdown guy. I know he had a decent game against Terrell Owens one time on a Monday night.
Had a good game against Jay Cutler and the Chicago Bears. Had like, I want to say,
he had a game against Jay Cutler, though, versus Eddie Royal, which he got torched to. So he had his highs and lows, obviously. But overall, solid player. Had a long career, which I wasn't sure if he was going to have such a long career. You the one that kept pointing out to me back when we discussed that Terrell Owens game.
Yeah.
Man, Terrell Owens still had like 9 catches.
He did. 140.
I don't know if that's exact stats.
He
but
had like he had over 100 yards.
But
I do
he
know.
He did cover him one-on-one the entire game.
Yeah, he did.
And that was, again, Terrell Owens in his prime. But again, when I think lockdown corners, I think about guys like Champ Bailey and Cardinals. What's his name? Come on, give me
Patrick Peterson.
Patrick Peterson. I'm talking about before Patrick Peterson.
Aeneas Williams.
Mm-hmm. Just to throw out a couple names, to me, D-Hall isn't on that list, but maybe he's in a class of maybe like a second tier batch of corners over the course of NFL history. And we could throw out some names, maybe pick somebody. Leroy Butler.
Leroy Butler. Leroy Butler was a safety.
Sorry. What about what's his name? I'm at a loss right now for words.
Fred Smoot?
No. Fred Smoot was really good.
He was good. He was good in the beginning of his career.
I'm thinking, you know.
Oh, Sean Springs. Right? What about Sean Springs?
Sean Springs. Yeah, you talking about Redskins. I'm talking about just in general. Ty Law, maybe.
Ty Law to me was better than, because Ty Law arguably could be a Hall of Famer.
Nnamdi Asawa.
That's a good. That's a good one. You know, that was a good one.
Nnamdi had some good years.
Yeah, Nnamdi had some good years.
If you want to say that, you know, D-Hall's in that class, not great, but in that next group.
I think he had a good buzz like that
you
year.
You think Ty Law's a great corner?
He's a Hall of Fame candidate. He's been on the ballot. I don't know if D-Hall's going to actually be on the ballot. Ty Law, if you look at his interception career, like Ty Law for a while was for the Patriots, was one of the
better. Okay, what about Revis? You think you could put him there too with Revis?
No. Who, Hall?
Yeah.
No, not with Revis. Because Revis,
Revis
was so dominant.
But Revis and Asamoah was supposed to be in the same group.
Because they were so dominant. Asamoah had like, 2 years?
Maybe 3.
Yeah, but Revis had his longevity in terms of dominance was better than.
You think so?
Yeah, if you look at the Jets,
maybe
all the time for the
5
Jets.
5 years tops, maybe?
But the Jets, that's in terms of being one of the best cornerback in football. Like, D-Hall was never, like argued as the best cornerback. He was looked at as one of the best, one of the better cornerbacks.
Richard Sherman. That Legion of Boom.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
Because he had Richard Sherman has listen. Richard Sherman doesn't play. See, I guess
Darryl
that's
Green.
Different.
When you if you looking at our upbringing, who was a top corner?
I think Darryl Green was probably better than D Hall because at the time he was like for a while he was a better.
And he's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
D Hall is not a Hall of Famer.
No, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
I like D Hall. I think he's not a Hall of Famer.
So he's not Ty Law then, because Ty Law is going to the Hall of Fame at some point.
Yeah, at some point he will. At some point.
And so is Revis.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a rule out. So yeah, Asamoah.
I think he could. No, Asamoah's not a bad one. But okay, I'll put it this way: at least D Hawk, what D Hawk can say for his career is that in terms of longevity, he lasted longer than Nnamdi Asamoah. Asamoah was only good where, like, with the Raiders for how many years?
I said I give him a strong 3 years. When
yeah,
he was
so
like
to be real with you, D Hall, if you look at D Hall in Atlanta, left Atlanta, went to what, the Broncos? Was it the Broncos?
No,
the Raiders. I'm sorry, the Raiders. Then after the Raiders, that didn't work too well. Came to D.C., played better, right? So and if you talk about Atlanta to D.C., he had a good run as a starting. He made a Pro Bowl in D.C.
Like I said, he had a long career.
Yeah. So if you look
longer
at
than your average football.
Yeah.
Player.
So if you look at Nnamdi, like Nnamdi Asamoah, yeah, he's probably better than Nnamdi Asamoah
I think again maybe that same group. My bad.
Well, no. I agree. I know what you're saying. I think he's better in terms of longevity. Nnamdi, his first those years in Oakland was way better than D Hall, right? Those years in Oakland. But if you look after that when he went to Philadelphia. Nnamdi wasn't good anymore. At least you could say D Hall went from one system in Atlanta to another system in DC, and still was a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback. And I don't think you can say that about other cornerbacks. I think in DC, he brought maturity. I think he became mature, became a better football player, a better leader. There's a lot of things that D Hall brought to the table in DC. As an Atlanta fan, right? Because you watched him in Atlanta, and you've seen him here. being him being local now, what was he? Where was he better at, Atlanta or with the Redskins?
To me, it's very similar to Michael Vick. Michael Vick was so raw and athletic in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So was D. Hall. You know, just, you know, awesome athleticism, great instincts, very quick to the ball, good footwork, you know, you name it. Mm-hmm. I think he was never the best deep ball guy. Like Chad Johnson burned him a few times in Atlanta.
Got you.
But to me, he became more of a cerebral guy here in D.C. He learned the game. He studied more. And it came with age. So I would say he was better with Washington. And he was more versatile.
Yeah, he would
play some safety.
Play some slot. He would play slot, play some safety. And also, and you know what? It's a different system, too.
You have D. Hall stats in front of you?
Yeah.
I got Nominee stats in front of me. So for his career, Nominee, 407 tackles total. How many D. Hall have?
Tackles? Are we going interceptions? Like tackles?
Interceptions, he had 15 in total. Nominee did.
Because nobody threw at him.
Right. That's
the difference. Nobody threw at him.
But only 407 tackles, 15 picks, one touchdown over
D. Hall in his career tackles, 636 tackles.
Better numbers.
Play longer. Interceptions. Too. Yeah, he played long. 43 interceptions.
Yeah, to 15 for Nominee.
But again, like you said, though, to your credit, no one targeted, no one really chanced Nominee back then in Oakland. In Oakland, no one really challenged
Nominee. He was only a 3-time Pro Bowler, Nominee Osawa.
And D. Hall was only I believe a 3-time Pro Bowler.
And 2-time first team All Pro for Nominee. 2-time second team All Pro.
Yes. So. No, you're looking at Nominee. When you're looking at. So how many first team?
Two.
D. Hall? I mean, Nominee?
Nominee and two.
I want to say, I'm trying to look at it right now. I'm trying to look that up right now in terms of what D. Hall was. D. Hall was a. Here you go. All right. D. Hall. I can't. It's not on here. It's not on here. If it is, I can't find it. So it's going through too much.
Okay. I'll look for it. Right now, based on the little bit of facts that we've seen, mm-hmm. it looks like D. Hall might be ahead of Nominee.
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, from a longevity standpoint, I believe he is. 3-time Pro Bowler. And he did it again. He went to the Pro Bowl twice. I guess you could say he was better than Atlanta because he had two Pro Bowl appearances in Atlanta.
He played 14 seasons. I got to see how many seasons Nominee played.
Well, Nominee was cut short. Nominee was
okay, like, he has a total of 811 tackles.
Who, Nominee?
No.
D. Hall. Oh,
11 forced fumbles. Pro 43 interceptions, 10 defensive touchdowns. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Pro Football Plus has.
And he was a 3-time Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. So they're even there. Yeah, 3-time Pro Bowler. And only. He never made All Pro.
Never made All Pro. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But see, Nominee did.
Yeah. Because Nominee at the time was the best. He was the best corner. And he was on a bad team.
In terms of longevity and numbers, I think you got to give it to D. Hall.
Yeah, because longevity.
So if D. Hall is better. Oh, then Nominee Osawa.
Yeah.
Then D. Hall is you can almost consider him a great cornerback. He's just not part of the all time greats.
Yeah, I think he was a good cornerback. I don't think he was a bad cornerback. No, I don't want to say great. Great's like Hall of Famer, a Hall of Fame cornerback.
I don't know.
We just call him like Champ Bailey. Like Champ Bailey's a great cornerback.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's hard. I think D. Hall is one of the best playmaking cornerbacks. I'll say that. Playmaking cornerbacks. When he gets, like, he can catch. There's so many cornerbacks who can't. Like Daryl Green, like you mentioned Daryl Green. I love Daryl Green with a passion. One of my favorite cornerbacks of all time. Can't catch like D. Hall.
So D. Hall had good hands.
Yeah, great hands.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to figure out as far as where, you know, his legacy is amongst the elite corners in his era, you know what I'm saying? And Nominee Osawa was one of those guys. So, not a bad place to be. Not a bad, right behind the class of Revis and Ty Law, and right above a guy like Nominee Osawa. I'm trying to think of somebody else maybe I can compare him to. But 14 years, obviously a good career. Versatile, gave Washington some good years.
Yeah.
Still one of the only corners ever. I think he is the only corner ever to record a 4-pick game.
Yeah.
I think.
For D.C.?
No, in history.
It was up there. I'm not sure. It was up there. That performance was something.
Yeah, NFL record. He tied NFL record.
Yeah, he tied.
4 interceptions in the game, which is great.
Yeah, and he's the playmaker. That's what D. Hall is. Like, to be honest with you, and we mentioned that going back to Atlanta, like before he came to D.C., and we used to talk about D. Hall, and I told him when we had this whole thing about Terrell Owens. At the end of the day, he's a playmaker. Like, he can get beat. Like, D-Hawk can get beat. It's not like watching Patrick Peterson or watching Revis. When you watch those guys, you're surprised when they get beat. When D-Hawk got beat, it was surprising. But at the same time, D-Hawk can make a play. Like, he'll take that risk. He was a gambler. He was a guy that he was going for the big play. He was going for that momentum game-changing play. And that's, to me, is what I'm going to remember most about D-Hawk.
He ended his career as safety.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
Yeah, as safety. He did end his career as a safety.
Not a great safety, though. And of course. Well,
part of the injury, though.
In part due to the
Achilles injury.
I'm trying to think, though. The years that Tampa had that really good defense under Tony Dungy, and then obviously the year after Gruden, and I was going to say the Super Bowl year. Mm-hmm. Who was their starting corners? Do you remember?
Other than Barber?
Yeah, there was.
And Kelly. Wasn't it Kelly?
Barber.
And wasn't it Kelly?
Now, where do you put Rondé Barber?
I think D-Hall's arguably like
right up there with Rondé.
Yeah, but Rondé,
better than Rondé Barber.
So this is my thing. When you run a Tampa 2 system and you get safety over top, D-Hall is playing man coverage in Atlanta with no safety help. So that's what, again, when I was saying that D-Hall was getting torched by Terrell Owens, cornerbacks weren't playing Terrell Owens 1-on-1. D-Hall did it. He had the bravado. He was like, I'm gonna try to take him out 1-on-1.
Again, I think it's because he had speed that you just can't coach.
Yeah.
You can't create. But, so what was he, a 4-2 at the combine?
Yeah, 4-3, something like that.
Yeah.
And when you compare D-Hall to like a Rondé Barber, it's hard for me to say that Rondé Barber is better than D-Hall. I think Rondé Barber may have more picks than D-Hall in his career, but I don't have the stats in front of me. But Rondé Barber, again, had safety help. He ran a cover, too. He wasn't playing man coverage. So, you know, it's a little different comparing him to D-Hawk.
Hey, it is what it is. By the way, as we talk about a former Redskin, kind of like all skins, right? That's the name of our show.
Yeah.
The whole all caps movement. They owe me some money, bro. This is the second time somebody stole something from me. Second time.
Really?
All caps makes sense. They not some all caps everything. It's like all caps. Like, you get it.
All caps,
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good
pretty
one.
Pretty good hashtag line. I'll admit
it. Really is. It's time to go to break.
I need some numbers. I need some money.
We get back from break. We're going to talk about the caps. We're going to have Ed Frankovic from WNXT's radio station, .net's radio station. We're going to talk about caps losing last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-2, losing game 3. Game 4 is big. You're listening to the Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Talking when it's fatal, having heart I can't tell. Wait. Half of y'all might need help. Wait. I might fall in Rodale.
I might ball and I strip.
Say no more.
I might call a for real.
Say no more.
All I ask go unveil.
Wind blows in the windows and I snuck in with a big glow. She got me like tempo. Know who it's in for.
Plan them. Gotta look at self and ask what happened. How y'all let a conscious go commercial while only making conscious albums? How y'all let the braids on TV? How y'all let the hood at the table? Now y'all don't even know how to rate them. Looking like I'm a creative player. Everybody who didn't pay respect, gotta fess up now and pay your debts. Gotta lay something down to make a threat. Gotta say something now, don't hold your breath. How you mean I ain't floating? I got the salt, got the potion. I got them all like emotions and emotions. I put career in the Goshens and put the body in the ocean. I made an oath when my told me to go in. Then he died on a cold bench. All my old friends living life on a slow end. Gotta keep rolling. It's due.
It's due. It's
due. I done fucked so much I can't sleep. I done fucked so much I'm retired. I'm about to live my life through day three.
Swear to God.
She said she broke down when Prince died.
It's alright.
My hair down, Prince lived through me.
I am.
Get your ass up and be inspired. You know how many bodies in the street. Take the mask off so you can see.
Percocet, yeah, Miley Percocet, big fire. Percocet, yeah, Miley Percocet, big fire. Represent, yeah, gotta represent. Gang, gang, chase a chick. Never chase a girl, chase a fire. Mask on, yeah, mask on.
I don't know what's going on today, but everybody's running late.
Jerry Russell, I think he was getting some rest.
I know, yeah.
Which I'm giving a pass. Egg Frankovic, where you at, bro?
Where you at, Ed, man?
This we need you to talk capitals. All caps.
Yeah, all caps, man. What's going on with the people, man? I thought we had built up a good rapport with everybody. Jeez. Anyway, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Ray. Will T's out. I'm waiting on Ed Frankovic from WNST, our Caps insider.
He is our Caps insider. He was on last weekend. It was an awesome show. But right now, he's not here. So now we must determine what to do from here on out. If you're listening live, by the way, please tweet us. You know, give us something. We can skip the NBA playoffs. I have a lot to say about that.
You'll skip the NBA playoffs?
No, we can. If he doesn't show up.
We can go to the NBA playoffs, you mean, right?
Is it
skip
Capital Star for now because he offers a different level of insight.
I know.
Than two guys who've never played hockey before.
I know, I've never.
Who
it's hard.
Have not been around the game as much as Frank has, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ed. Ed Frank.
Just call him Ed. It makes it easy for you, dude.
I call
Ed,
him Frank.
Frank.
I mean, Frank is a good name, too. But
it's not. It's his last name. You can't call him Frank.
Now, you watch most of the first three games of the series,
I have,
right?
I have watched them. I have.
Now, what do you think? He said...
He go, Ed?
No, because I agree with calling Frank again. He was pointing out last week how overall the Lightning is just a much faster team.
Yes.
Put on the back end a little bit slower. To me, they looked a little bit even these first couple games.
No, the first two games, the Caps look faster.
You think they look faster?
The first two
games. I don't think so.
To me, they look faster. And I thought
they going.
No, because they just look fast. They got to their spots quick. Yesterday, they looked 10 times faster than the Caps. Like, it wasn't even funny. Like, they beat the Caps to every puck. In terms of even the power play, when the Caps were on the power play, it was as if the Lightning were on the power play. Like, the Lightning were everywhere. Like, they were, like, Stamkos dominated on the power play. I'm still trying to get this to, like, understand this. This is what I wanted Ed to be on, is that on the first power play goal, and Stamkos hit the one-timer on, it's the same goal he scored in the first two games. Like, you know he's going to be on that far. I guess that's the far left wing from my angle. The far wing. Ready for the one-timer. And they still can't defend it. And I'm trying to figure out why. Like, why? I'm not a hockey pro to a point to say I know lineups and formations and this, that, and the other. But just as a novice watching hockey, I'm like, dude, it's the same freaking play in game one and game two. You can't just have a guy like just bear off to that side. I know it's a power play. I know you're playing with a man. They have the man advantage. But come on, like, really. And also, I think in game three, the Caps lost that game 4-2. I thought that the Caps, they weren't hungry. Like, obviously, Tampa was desperate and they played hungrier.
Well, you got to know the mindset of your opponent. That's what Randy Whitman said, to quote him,
yeah,
a couple years back. No, just like in the NBA playoffs, Boston knew that Cleveland was going to play a much tougher game mm-hmm. in game two. So for the Capitals, they potentially, you know, Bill Glow, no, they did Tampa Lightning at home.
Yeah.
And then give yourself some rest heading into the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's
so
true.
Now you got to go back to Tampa. So that's an issue. But what encourages me is it didn't make a difference against the Penguins in the last round.
That's true. That's
so,
true.
So whether they close them out here or they close them out on the road, it doesn't matter. They're capable.
I expect, if you look at the pattern, I expect Ovechkin to have a big game in game four. I expect Carlson to have a big game. Hopefully, you know, Nicholas Backstrom plays in this game. Nicholas Backstrom has missed the first two games of the series due to his wrist injury. If he is healthy, you're talking about one of the better players of all of the NHL, two-way players, a guy from the center position can do it all. He's a good setup man, playmaker, defensive center. So he's a guy that can bring so much to the table. So they get him, it's like getting that added bonus to the team. But I expect him to play better in game four because, to be honest with you, to me, game four is a must win. Knowing the history of this team and how mental it could be, knowing that you gave up a 2-0 lead and you're going back to Tampa, the team that's probably the best team, is the best team in the Eastern Conference. And now you're going to their home after squandering an opportunity to win a game at home.
Right. I can't add anything to it. I wish Ed was here to add something to it. But, you know.
Ed's not here. So
we got to go with the flow.
We got to go with the flow, man. This has been a freestyling show, man. It really has. Anyway, we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs after the break. Get listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter beat. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this. Immaculate conception, I transform like this, perform like this. With Yoshi, a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit. It's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it. Your almost body switch inside your DNA. All that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitched. Heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist. Burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you. This is Parler's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA. Born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've done so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial extrovert. And excellent mean an extra work. And absentness, what the f*** you heard? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff gonna be this case. The reason my power's here. Salute the truth and the prophecy. I got loyalty.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
I live a better life. This is my heritage. All I'm inheriting. Money and power. The Mecca. Emeritus. Tell me something. You motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here my boy Ray. Will T's out. All right, tonight, the Golden State Warriors are playing the Houston Rockets for Game 2 in the Western Conference Finals. Warriors took Game 1 in Houston Sunday night. Warriors won 119-106. Are the Warriors unbeatable?
Unbeatable?
In these playoffs with the remaining teams, are they unbeatable?
And from a series standpoint?
Yes.
Because they can win 4-1.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Series standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I don't think none of the remaining teams can beat the Golden State Warriors. I think Mike D'Antoni might be a hindrance to his team.
Yeah,
a lot of one-on-one basketball.
That's their brand. He won't stop it.
Trevor Ariza, man, the ill-advised threes. I love it. In front of the entire country to see. Because we know we watch him here, and he does that a lot, just jack up threes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And it's horrible when he's missing. When he's making, it's like, dang,
he's just Jay Wet.
He need to be on. He needs to be on the Warriors.
I know, right?
When he's missing, it's like, man, why is he on the court? I mean, everybody was jacking up threes. Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker.
PJ Tucker is one that gets me, but that's a whole different. Eric Gordon's a great shooter.
Why does he? Eric Gordon's been struggling this entire.
But Eric Gordon, at least you know he got offensive game. Like, you know Eric Gordon can shoot. You know Eric. Like, you know it. It's like. You know Eric
this
Gordon
is
has
Tony's
game.
Office. This is what they do, but
like PJ Tucker is like a what? He's a defensive player. He shouldn't be shooting threes like that anyway.
But CP, it's funny because I feel like Houston gave Golden State one of their best shots in that first game.
They did.
They played their hearts
they
out.
They did. They still lost by like
double digits.
And they still lost by 13.
And then the thing about Golden State is everybody from there. Swaggy P to daggone, I can't think
who
of
Cook?
His name right now. Not Cook.
Looney.
Everybody was making their shots. No. Sean Livingston.
Yeah.
Everybody was scoring.
Everybody eats for Golden State. Real talk. I know that's like the Washington Wizards talk slang and like everybody eats. But for Golden State, everybody really eats. Like everybody. Kevin Durant had like 30. Was it 37? Or something like that. It's like there's nobody who could check Kevin Durant. They have no answer. Like, Houston has no chance. Like, when you look at them, they have no chance.
Best case scenario is 4-2 for them.
Best case scenario.
But I actually, if they lose this one, it's going to be a sweep.
Oh, I agree. It's a sweep.
It's going to be a wrap.
It's a sweep. If they lose tonight, it's over. Like, just it's a sweep. It's over anyway. Like, once they lost game one, it was a wrap. To me, once they lost game one, it was a wrap.
Their heart is not taken, kind of like Toronto's, but...
you don't think their heart's taken?
No, I don't think so. After tonight, it will be. It's true. But the question is, how can you beat the Warriors? You got to play solid defense.
Play
and
team.
To me, you have to be efficient on offense.
And you be, and you,
if you're going to jack up a bunch of threes and you're missing, you're not going
to
win.
And you can't. And one player can't do everything. You know what I mean? You have to move the you have to move the basketball. You can't just say ISO one player like Boston, who we'll talk about later. Is a team, even without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward, they're a team that can, to me, compete a little bit better with Golden State because you have multiple guys who can score the basketball and not fixated on one person to score.
Right, but on defense, they guard you right at your chest, which, you know, that affects depth.
Yeah, you're talking about Boston, right?
Yeah, that's what Cleveland did the year that Golden State won 73 games. Mm-hmm. They really played Steph physical and it impacted his game. Granted, he wasn't 100% either from a health standpoint. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that Houston is not good enough defensively to be able to make many changes at this point. I would make Draymond beat me.
I think everybody should do that. Everybody should do that.
I would play off of him.
I would play off of him.
You know he's going to jack.
He's going to jack in any way. I would make Draymond try to score 30. Like, that would be my goal.
Iguodala had a horrible shooting game
I would
in
let,
game
one. To be honest with you, if they start.
But he can go to the rack.
He can go to the rack.
I'm making Draymond beat me. Draymond has to beat me.
Yeah, I agree.
But see, it's the pick and rolls. If you notice.
They don't switch. Because they switch on them.
KD against CP. You're never going to win
switch.
That matchup.
They switch.
But there's nobody on Houston that can guard Durant.
There's nobody, bro. I laughed when someone told me Trevor Ariza would be the one. Like, I looked at him like, are you stupid? Like,
no.
What is PJ Tucker going to do to Kevin Durant?
Theoretically speaking, you sag Capella off of Draymond and he helps.
Exactly.
That's me as a coach.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. I'm letting.
Now, when Capella's out the game, then you got another issue because they're so deep.
Yeah.
Right now, Swaggy P's buying in. This is not the strip club Nicky Young that we know from the Wizards. He's buying in, or the Lakers, where he's, you know, juggling women and it's playing out.
No,
with,
I agree. No, I agree.
D'Angelo Russell telling on him and stuff. Like, Nick Young, this might be the most locked in he's been in his career.
He locked in.
He's locked in. He's still crazy off the court, I'm sure, but he's locked in. The Warriors are going to be champions barring injury. Period.
I agree.
Now, who can challenge them the best on the East? We both agree it's the Celtics.
I think
LeBron James cannot just hit fadeaways and laugh against these guys.
Against the Celtics or the Warriors?
Against anybody.
Against
but the Raptors.
Either, yeah, but the Raptors. He could probably do it against
but
Houston.
MJ could, I think he could do it against drop you. Fadeaways on whoever you played against.
Whatever, man.
Although, I will say this.
Our team was struggling against Warriors team. Don't get it twisted.
Let me say this. No, Jordan wouldn't struggle.
Yes,
but the team Warriors would can beat the Bulls. The Warriors can beat the Showtime Lakers. They can beat anybody.
Bulls.
They can beat anybody.
Bruh, think
all
about
time
this.
Great team.
Klay Thompson is your worst scorer of the scorers. And that dude scored like 70 in the game. It is what it is, dude. It is what it is.
Now,
scoring wise, because Scotty can't be, because Scotty couldn't be fixated. Like there's somebody Scotty couldn't check, or Jordan would
have to check KD.
Exactly.
Now, but here's the thing: Klay can't create off the dribble.
Yeah.
So you put Jordan on Steph. You got Pippen on KD. Then
Klay's still off the.
Then you got Ron Harper. You got Ron Harper.
But Ron Harper struggled against like a Reggie. Like
no,
these.
No, Ron Harper's a good defensive.
No. I didn't say he wasn't, but he struggled against a Reggie. I'm just saying, like.
No, but Reggie it can. I think he's better moving without the ball than Klay is.
Klay's really good moving without the ball, though. And it's because his form
We're talking
quick.
About Reggie Miller, though.
I know. You know Reggie's my dude, bro. You know that.
Come on,
that.
Dude.
But no. Hey. But I'm telling you, like, the Bulls, like, but still, though, with putting Scotty on Durant ain't going to be like he's stopping Durant. Because Durant's Durant. Like, let's keep, like, That's a seven-footer. Scotty has never really stepped
in. But if you look at his career, even games where he had extremely good ones against, like, the Dirk Nowitzki and Kawhi Leonard, they definitely, impacted him.
Yeah, I get that. But I'm saying he's still a 20.
I think Scotty would be that guy.
But Scotty, everybody, he still scores. Look at the postseason. He still scores. Yeah, because his matchup, his height. And his first step is a problem for any defender, period.
Okay, we are talking about head-to-head.
Yeah, we are.
Golden State versus the Bulls.
Yeah.
I'm factoring in KD in Oklahoma City because that's a whole different thing.
Offense. A whole different offense.
Yeah, I think in a seven-game series, they could beat the Bulls, bottom line.
They're talented.
Because,
they could beat anybody.
They're deeper.
I love like my Showtime Lakers. They could beat anybody. This team could beat anybody. Like anybody.
But – we say this, and on the other hand, we're saying that the Celtics can come in and compete. Marcus Smart-led Celtics can compete by the Jordan-led Bulls.
Bruh.
They may not be.
Know what compete means? No compete means? It means put up a fight. That's what it means. Put up a real fight. It doesn't mean that you can compete and lose a series.
You know what, though?
For nothing.
They actually match up pretty well when you look at from top to bottom.
Yeah, okay,
when you look at Horford. And who's at the five?
Is that when they play the Hampton Five? Like the Hampton Five when they play? Because when they play that good Iguodala. No. Durant plays the five.
I don't mind Marcus Morris checking Durant.
I'm not saying
he can stop him, but you know Tatum, who size wise he actually matches up pretty good with Klay.
Tatum's just more. To be honest, he's a more talented player than Klay Thompson.
It's just. Right now, you don't have anybody for Steph.
You don't have anybody for Steph. I mean, if you could put,
Rozier.
He's checking
small.
Steph.
He's too small.
Yeah, but you could try to put Marcus Smart.
He's getting his chest though.
Marcus Smart is the one you would want on Steph.
Klay will cook him though. I'm sorry. Steph will cook him because as much as I like Marcus Smart, the weight loss really helped him.
Yeah,
because he was fat. John Wall used to yank him. He's always about to fight. But Marcus Smart is tough. Marcus Smart defended James Harden really well.
Yeah, Marcus Smart can defend.
They're tough. They're going to play you hard, but again, we're talking about Golden State. Now, the interesting question would be, because this is looking like it's going to be the final matchup.
It does look like it, because LeBron drops 42 and still loses.
I do think the Boston. Celtics might have a better coach.
Better coach.
No, you can't say he's way better.
He's a way better. Look, Mike Brown was still winning, was still not losing games with that same team. We saw what Luke Wall did. I don't know. I'm not carrying Steve Kerr.
That was Steve Kerr's system because you had the same team minus Durant under Mark Jackson, who won much less games.
No,
because
Mark Jackson. don't get started.
Mark Jackson. No, he's a good defensive coach though.
Good defensive coach. You're right. You're right. There's a reason why I'm not going to carry Mark Jackson. Because Mark Jackson did start the groundwork. So he did start the groundwork. But I've always had an issue with Mark Jackson.
I don't mind you saying, but I agree.
You know, for nobody. You know what I'm saying?
I agree Brad Stevens is a good coach. I mean,
I think he's the better coach.
Yes, but not the way. Oh, we're way better.
I just think you always get so defensive. I know, I do. I am defending. I think Brad Stevens is the best coach in basketball by far. Just because what he lost. If Steve Kerr lost, you saw what Steve Kerr lost. Durant and Steph for a little bit and how the Warriors didn't look as good. Brad Stevens lost everybody. Like, he lost everybody and still has this team, his team at the number two seed. They beat Milwaukee team when everybody thought it was going to lose to Milwaukee. They beat the, look what they're doing to the Cavs. Like, this team, like, the Sixers too. I'm sorry, I missed the Sixers. The Sixers as well. Like, no, Brad Stevens can lose. Yo, Brad Stevens could lose Tatum and still win it, get to the finals. That's how good Brad Stevens
is. Now, I do think if you watch the regular season too, Jalen Brown is a good matchup for Klay.
He'll get to his stuff. He'll get into Klay.
That's what I'm saying. They get into your chest.
Yeah.
Terry Rozier will get into Steph's chest, but he's gonna get yanked.
Yeah.
He's gonna get crossed and he's gonna get jade.
I feel like skipping boxing because the segment's y'all hot right now.
It's just called an adjustment. In game adjustments. It's 7:51. We still got 9 minutes left. I don't know. I'm not sure at this point about talking about Lomachenko, who necessarily best pound for pound fighter. You think? I mean, after that fight, I still like the jury's still out on that.
I will say. I'm going to talk about that real quick.
We'll save it for last few minutes, I guess.
Yeah, but to your point, though, about Lomachenko real quick, I feel like he was exposed if he tries to go up, though. That I will say. I feel he was exposed if he tries to go up. He has to fight a really – the boxer that he's talking about wanting to fight, the same person that Gary Russell Jr. was talking about fighting, if the dude Linares isn't even close to that dude. And Linares gave him some problems. That I will say.
I have a question.
Ask away, man.
Just as we, kind of, I guess, shift back to NBA playoffs.
Yes.
LeBron James was pretty jovial in his press conference. He was cracking jokes about Kevin Love, not getting any questions directed towards him. Do you have a problem with that, with him being down 0-2?
No.
Or is his swagger, just that significant because he knows he can make a comeback? He can't beat this team by himself.
I don't take anything from what anybody says in press conference. What I will say, though, if he see him responding that way, it could be a sense of knowing, like, oh crap, we're in trouble. You know how people, like, they try to play it chill when they know something bad is about to go down.
I can read the BS meter with him.
Okay.
Because, like, last year, they were down 3-0 in the finals.
Yeah.
And they won game 4.
Yeah.
And what did he say afterwards? We put ourselves in a great position to be able to come back. What the hell? You won one game, and you got to go to Golden State potentially twice just to win the series. You didn't put yourself in a great position. Agreed. You're trying to psych yourself into thinking.
That's what I'm saying.
And
like,
psych us. Yeah. But in this case, he really believes, based on what I'm seeing from his demeanor, I think he really believes that I'm not tripping. I know I can go home. My guys will play a little bit better home. We're going to tie this thing up 2-2. We're going to get in their heads mentally.
There's problems in that whole, other than LeBron. LeBron could be LeBron, and it doesn't matter. Obviously, the dude scored 42 points. He had a triple-double, with 42 points.
Yeah,
so
they still lost by
double figures. So, to me, he could say whatever. Like, Boston is still good enough to beat him even when he goes ham. We saw with the Golden State Warriors a couple of years ago when he had that great run in the finals and still lost. I think he lost in 5.
And
so.
Now you got Ty Lue calling them goons.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that was hilarious because it took me back to, I don't know if you remember
talk
this.
Talk about a bad coach.
We used to hoop in Laurel. Remember we used to hoop in Laurel?
Yeah.
Years ago. Mm-hmm. And there was a group of like 5'2" dudes. And they would come up there and they were straight foul.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
But they were actually halfway decent. So yeah. You would lose and you'd be frustrated. You'd be pushing them. And
are you talking about?
They would have you out your game. And they were all the same height. It was like 5 of them.
It didn't include Bryce though, right?
No, not Sportfield. I'm talking about down the street.
Deerfield. Yeah. My bad. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It was like 5.
Oh, yeah.
They were all like
about.
5'3". Some of them were like muscular. They look like little boxers, but they would foul you the entire game. You'd be so, and they would play hard defense, and you'd be so frustrated, agitated, that you would find yourself losing to a bunch of short guys, because they play goon basketball. This is what Tyronn Lue was accusing Boston of
playing goon basketball.
What did he say? Did he say?
Gooning the game up.
And the thing was, Jalen Brown was like, I don't know how to respond to that. I don't agree with that. I think they're just playing
harder. They play physical.
Like, what J.R. Smith did was dumb.
He should have kicked out the game. Like, he should have. That was dirty.
DeMar DeRozan got kicked out.
That was dirty.
The previous
series. Yeah, I know. He should have been kicked out. It was too obvious. It was way too obvious. Horford's going. When you play ball, like, if you play ball, and Mark Jackson said it great on the program. He was like, yo, if it was on the park, this would be a fight. Like, the game would have stopped. You know what I mean? Beyond, that's what happened. You don't do something like that to a dude and in the air.
Marcus Smart wasn't trying to get kicked out. Marcus Smart was trying to send a message.
Yeah.
Because all he did was bump with his chest. And even when JR pushed, you saw Marcus Smart caught his arms
quick.
if Smart wanted to go at him, he would have
went at him. I know. Yeah. I'm with you. No, I'm with you.
By the way, shout out to Marcus Smart. Continue to play hard in the playoffs, considering his mom just started chemotherapy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I think
out.
That's just unbelievable story. The fact that he's playing and playing at a high level with that on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom giving the blessing to continue to play through that.
No, I'm with you.
So, just thoughts
and prayers
with him. Yeah. I think Boston takes the series, though. I think 4-1, really.
It should go 4-1. I mean, I don't want to doubt LeBron. I try not to doubt him. Because I think they can win two games in Cleveland.
Now, this might be one of my quotes that will be on the text circuit.
I didn't go ahead. No, because, Boston did this to Milwaukee. They looked really good at home, and they went to Milwaukee, and they lost two games.
They competed pretty hard in Philly. And, again, this is not
Philly, I know.
It's not your old Cavaliers team.
Yeah, it's not.
LeBron is in trouble because he doesn't have anybody that's going to
– Well, Kevin Love played good. He played over
time. Yeah, he's soft as
– Okay, real talk, yes, he is. Okay, and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous,
and
though.
Not only him, did Jaylen Brown not expose Kyle Korver? I mean, he looked like a little boy.
Well, he pushed off on that one, though. He pushed off.
I know you're talking about – in general.
Well, I mean – Jaylen Brown is a great talent. Like, he's a great talent.
He's bullying him down.
Well, yeah, he's punking him. Jaylen Brown. I think Kyle Korver isn't soft, though. I don't think Kyle Korver is soft. I do believe that
Kevin Love. Kyle Korver is a liability. I'm not saying he's soft.
I don't know if it's like he used to be a good defender. I mean, it's age. He's an older dude now, so it's not the same. He's not the same Kyle Korver that in Atlanta where he played solid defense.
Solid defense.
You know, Kyle Korver's a decent defender. Even Mark Jackson would say, I totally agree with Mark Jackson on the
show. He's never been soft, though. Not even since his Creighton days.
Yeah,
Kevin Love is
soft. Kevin Love is soft. Marcus Smart was bodying him in the block. Like, he had Marcus Smart in the block, and he couldn't body Marcus Smart. Granted, Marcus Smart is a strong dude, but still. Like, you 6'10", bruh. It's the same issue you had with Dirk Nowitzki back in the day. Like,
if I'm Ty Lue, I'm playing Nance and Clarkson more frequently.
Again, why didn't you play Clarkson? I thought that was a bad coaching decision, too.
You don't like Ty Lue's decisions.
No, he's not a great coach. He's not.
It's 7:58. We haven't talked Vasil Lomachenko yet.
We said that. We said the dude ain't powerful. You said he's not powerful.
Listen, yeah, this is a message to all the children out there. When you give him some sour lemons, you still gotta make lemonade. You give us some bad avocado, you still got to make guacamole. Today, both of our guests bailed on us.
And
Russell Jr., we give him a pass. He didn't do it on purpose. He had a Showtime interview today.
He's been
training hard. He's tired.
Yeah, exactly.
Ed, we still love Ed.
We still love Ed. You got to show up, though.
It's rough out here. But we did the college professor treatment. We gave him that. 15 minutes and we out. Doctors get 15 minutes. Regular guys get 10. Period.
On that note, you've been listening to Urban Sports Safe for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mecca, lead us out, big homie.